Welcome to Mighty Parenting, the podcast with real, raw, and relevant talk about raising teens and parenting young adults. Here are your hosts, Judy Davis and Sandy Fowler.
Welcome to Mighty Parenting, a community where we help you raise teens and parent 20-somethings so they can become happy, successful, and emotionally healthy adults. I'm Sandy Fowler, here with my co-host, Judy Davis, and you hear every week how much we love doing the Mighty Parenting podcast and sharing these great guests with you. Well, right now, we are planning our 2019 shows, because 2018 is booked and ready to go. It is not wrapped up, because we're still getting them recorded, but planning-wise, it is done. So, what we were wondering as we're doing this is, what topics you guys want to hear about? Or are there topics that we've covered, but you had more questions, or there was a different angle that you wanted covered, or you want us to go more in depth on it? Or was there a guest who we had on who you would just like to hear more from? We need you to tell us the stuff, because if you don't tell us, we don't know. And we do our best in what we think would be helpful, but we want to know what areas you want more in. Also, if you are a Patreon member, you know, are there Real Talk topics that you want Judy and I to discuss, or just things that you'd like to hear more of from the behind the scenes pieces? So whatever it is that you're thinking of going, I wish they'd do this, I want more of that, let us know. You can email us at connect@mightyparenting.com, or simply go to the website, go to mightyparenting.com. And of course there is a contact page there where you can chat with us, or on social media. We are on Pinterest, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And on all of them, our handle is just Mighty Parenting. So that's what we need from you. Today, what we have for you is a chat about fathers and the impact they have on their children's lives, and that is whether they are present or not. And I feel like this is a really important topic, because it's one that doesn't get talked about much. Before the show today, Judy and I were chatting with our guest, with John Finch, and that's one of the things I was saying is, I think that the subject of fathers, of things that dads need, some of the things about raising boys specifically, I think a lot of those topics don't get enough attention. So I am really glad that we're going to be doing that. And I'm interested in diving into this topic more, because I know that my husband sometimes struggles with himself over his parenting. He had undiagnosed Asperger's for many years, and dealing with the depression and the anxiety that grew out of that, it created a very dark time in his life, and still sometimes challenges his parenting. Just the diversity that comes with the Asperger's creates some significant challenges for him. And so while he works hard at it, I know that he still struggles with that, and struggles with the idea that he could ever do something that would hurt his kids. So what I'm interested in understanding more about is the global topic, but also kind of going, you know, what is that impact? And are there things that he or I could change in the way that we're parenting to make sure that we're giving our girls what they need? And Judy, you know, I know that your dad was a huge influence on your life, a really huge influence in a very positive and supportive way. But I also know that there were times in his life when he was absent for you.
I didn't realize it, but losing my dad 11 years ago, yes, I was an adult, but losing him at that time to cancer was the hardest thing that I ever dealt with, because he was my biggest cheerleader. And he was the person that always believed in what I did, and he gave me confidence. But that always, it wasn't always the case. In fact, back when I was younger, we lost my brother, and he lost his mom within a very short period of time. And my dad literally checked out for a couple years. He came home, and him and his bottle of vodka went in the back room in the dark and watched TV until he just literally fell asleep. It was like he just disappeared from our life for a period of a few years. And so while it's not the same, and looking back, I can see that it was clinical depression and he was self-medicating, but I can relate to the fact that when he wasn't there to be that cheerleader, it impacted me in a lot of ways, and a lot of them weren't always positive. And both of those dynamics influenced my life. And that's why I'm so excited to talk with John Finch today. John grew up the youngest of three boys in a suburb of Dallas, where he lost his father to suicide at age 11. And the wounds that he had from that experience left him craving for so much affirmation from someone who wasn't there and able to give it to him anymore. And that led to all different kinds of things, including looking to the world for affirmation in a lot of unhealthy ways. But what's so powerful about John is that he took that tragedy, and now he uses it to empower others. He seeks to break down the barriers that prevent men and women from addressing those deep-rooted anger and hurt from the wounds that they've suffered in their lives by sharing his experiences and his story in an open way. He shares his failings and how he has turned things around and found a new path to moving forward. And John is on a mission, I guess is the best way to put it, to educate and encourage and equip men. Just like you're talking about, Sandy, let's dig in and find out. And he does that. He equips men to become the fathers they were created to be. He has a movie called The Father Effect, where he shares stories and messages that will move viewers to a new awareness and give them this power that they may not have had before. He's been married for 23 years, has three daughters of his own, and lives still in Denton, Texas. He's the founder of the Perfect Father Ministries, which is a 501c3, and a community of people who share short stories about empowering and encouraging dads. So thanks for being with us today, John.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So I know that I have a lot of questions, but Sandy, I think you should kick us off with the first one.
Well, so where I wanted to start, John, what I, you have such a very impactful movie, The Father Effect. I really enjoyed that and had some very surprising things happen. But in there, you talk about two ways that people can end up suffering in their relationship or from their relationship with their father or lack of relationship. One of those is called a father wound. So could you tell us a little bit about what that is and, you know, how that plays out in people's lives?
Sure. So a father wound is something that a dad did or didn't do with us. So let's say, for example, it's a dad who, I think Judy had mentioned, you know, maybe just kind of checked out, just, you know, checked out of life, if you will, because of some incident. You know, maybe they're really into muscle cars. And instead of spending time with their kids, they spend all their time in the garage. So that young daughter or young son knows and sees that cars are more important than them. So when they do that, when they put something else over their kids as a priority, that wounds that child. That tells that child that they don't matter, that they're not important. And so maybe it's something that a dad didn't do in the sense that, you know, maybe he never gave his son or daughter a hug, never showed any kind of positive affection towards him, maybe never told him, I love you, I believe in you, I'm proud of you, you know, any of those affirmations. It can be a dad who is physically or verbally abusive. So it plays itself out in a number of different ways. With me, you know, with my dad choosing to commit suicide, my biggest thing was abandonment. I struggle with abandonment in an incredible degree, and that's what really caused my bad behavior for so many years and really took me into an alcoholism that I struggled with for many years because I was medicating that that wound, that abandonment issue.
So this can be so many different things, and where I'm at, I've got a few different thoughts that have come through. So I'm going to pick one and go one direction first. First, what I want to go is, you know, this is something that we ourselves need to deal with in terms of our relationships with our father, or our relationship with our father. And then there's that turning it around for dads going, okay, what's my relationship with my kids? So if we had issues with our dad, if there was that father wound there, then for, you know, anyone listening, and especially of course for the dads who are listening, how might that affect our parenting of our kids?
Wow. You know, there's so much in that question. there's this thing called the generational curse, if you will. And whether it's addiction, whether it's fear, whether it's anger, there's so many things that get passed down through generation to generation, because we as children, what we see in our lives with our parents, that's what we see as our normal. And as radical for some that may be, that is our normal. And so, you know, it's the same experience that, like, young ladies who grow up in an abusive home where they see a dad abusing a mom, statistics will show you, and experts will tell you, that there's a very good chance that they're going to marry an abuser, because it's what they see as normal. It's comfortable to them. As hard as that is to believe, it is what it is. And so for us, you know, we've just got to be aware of how our dads impacted us. And because dads, well, none of us are perfect. I am a flawed individual in many, many ways. And I continue to make mistakes and screw up. But in that, my kids also see that I'm doing the very best that I can. And there's some things that I do on a daily basis that I've learned through making the film that are really helping me change my legacy. But it's the awareness piece of how is it that your father impacted and molded and shaped you into who you are. And really, the key there is the forgiveness. Forgiving him because he couldn't give what he didn't have. You know, maybe he grew up with a dad who was an alcoholic, and then you're wondering why he's an alcoholic. And so for me, finding forgiveness from my father was the biggest piece that radically changed my life. And a part of that journey was understanding his background and the compassion that I came to know and give him as a result.
Mm-hmm. So, John, when you say that forgiveness played such a big part, did it give you... You mentioned that it gave you an awareness of his background and what was going on with him. In that process, how did it help you uncover what you have said are your quote-unquote shortcomings? Because I see them as things that now you're using to move forward, so I don't see them as shortcomings at all. But it's one of those things. How did forgiving him help you identify your challenges and the things that were causing you to behave in that negative way?
Well, one of the biggest things I struggle with, and I see so many men and women both struggle, is the anger. And a lot of guys are angry and they don't even know why. Mm-hmm. And their wives think it's their fault, and it's not. You know, the wives think, well, he's angry at this, that, and the other. A lot of the times it's because of his own issues. It's because of his own feelings of inadequacy, because he doesn't know how to fix a refrigerator when it breaks, or do things around the house. And he gets frustrated and upset that his dad was not there to teach him how to do those things. So there's little bitty things like that really trigger us as men to be angry. But it's the anger piece. I mean, when I found forgiveness for my dad, it totally took that anger away, because ultimately I was incredibly mad at my dad for abandoning me, choosing to leave me and my two brothers and my mom. And so that anger was no longer there. And so, again, for me, it was a healing thing because then I didn't have to medicate. I didn't have to drink alcohol to cover up that wound and that anger and all the things that came along with it.
Well, it's really interesting that you said it's the little things in your life is how it showed up. It wasn't that big event or situation. It was the little everyday things that kind of just continued to build and trigger and make you feel inadequate in different ways. That to me is so fascinating because we live in a society where men are taught not to express their emotions, not to express their feelings. Don't cry, be strong. And we pass that down to our boys and our other generations. And what it seems to me is that whole stuffing it in is really impacting and making the anger worse.
Yeah, if you look at our society, and we've done it for so many years, we're teaching young boys at a very young age on the soccer field, for example, at 4, 5, 6 years old. We're saying when they fall down, they get hurt, they start crying. We say, suck it up, man up, you're okay, get up. And so what we're doing is we're telling them not to show their real emotion. We're telling them not to be real. So then we're surprised when they grow up to be adult men and they can't be real and transparent and honest and vulnerable about their emotions and the things that they're going through. And then we ask why, you know, communication is such an issue and the divorce rate is so high. And so it's this incredible vicious cycle of teaching them from a very early age not to be real and not to show real emotion.
And we don't teach them in that same vein, we don't teach them how to identify and deal with those emotions. You talked about the anger piece, and that was one of the things that happened with my husband, was that no matter what emotion he felt, you know, you mentioned frustration came out as anger. Frustration, irritation, confusion, everything just came out as anger.
Yeah, there's one of the guys we interviewed for the film said, he talked specifically about that. And he said, you know, anger was my hammer and everything began to look like a nail. And so anything and everything that ever happened to me, my response was anger.
Mm-hmm. So if we find ourselves or our spouses in that place, what can we do to heal those wounds? I know you mentioned forgiveness is one thing. Is there any tips that you would give that we could share with our audience?
Sure. You know, the first thing you have to do is admit you're wounded. You can't try to heal something if you don't admit that there's an issue there or a wound there. So you have to admit that you're wounded. And then the second thing is I am a huge advocate of counseling. And so my counselor was somebody that, you know, really guided me and directed me through the journey. And without him, I probably wouldn't be where I'm at today. I mean, he was a huge force in helping me find that healing because he knew what to do. He knew what to say, the questions to ask. He knew to push me on certain things. He called me out on my BS, right, when I was bluffing and playing all those games. And so you can't expect to find that healing in many instances without some type of guide or some kind of professional that's going to help you get through that.
Perfect.
So, you know, we started out talking about the father wound, John, but you also say that we're suffering from an absent father epidemic in this country. Why do you think that's happening?
You know, I think so many times, well, let me explain first. There's both, people think absent father, most think physically absent, but there's just a big an issue with those that are emotionally absent. So let's say, for example, they live right there in the home, but as I explained earlier, they choose to do other things instead of spend time with their kids. So, and that can be some of the deepest wounds sometimes, that absent father who is right there every day, but totally ignores his kids or chooses to do other things. So that piece of it is very, very powerful. I think most men, you know, if life's not going maybe the way I expected, or various things happen, maybe some very tragic things happen, then, you know, they just check out, or they run, they escape. They're just trying to run from life and not have to deal with the issues, because, you know, in reality, as men, none of us even want to admit that we have issues or struggles, because then it makes us look less of a man. Mm-hmm. So instead of dealing with all that, a lot of times we just isolate. That's our reaction. That's how we react to issues that happen to us in our lives. We isolate. And the isolation is one of the worst enemies of men. It is the last thing we need to do as men, is to isolate, because then that's when all the addiction stuff and the pornography and all of those things really start to come to a head and become an issue.
Mm-hmm. I can see that so much, you know, in my father's story. You know, he was a totally involved parent. And then when he had back-to-back tragedies, he did just that. Isolated. I mean, he was still there, but he wasn't, you know. So it's really interesting. And I know for me, that was almost more hurtful, because I had known him to be the person that was so involved, and he wasn't. And so it was, what is wrong with me? And that was how I felt. What are some of the other effects that you have seen in your experience and talking to people of how our teens feel, how our kids feel, how our spouses feel from that effects of absent fatherhood?
Sure. So we interviewed Dr. Meg Meeker, who's a best-selling author. She's got an incredible book, which I read early on, called Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters. And I've shared this story many times and love the story, because it's just so impactful. As I was interviewing her, in between interviews, we were talking as the camera was off. And she said, you know, John, she was a pediatrician by trade. And she said, many times I've had young girls walk into my office, and, you know, they were sexually active, and it was like 16, 17 year olds. And then it became younger and younger. It was like 15, then 14, then 13. And she said, more than one occasion, I'd have a girl come in my office. I'd give her a physical, everything checked out. But before she would leave, she'd say, hey, Dr. Meeker, can you write me a prescription? And Dr. Meeker would say, well, you're totally fine. There's nothing wrong with you. And she would say, I don't care what the prescription's for. Just at the bottom put, cannot have sex. And she said, John, what was happening is these young girls were having sex. It wasn't physically or emotionally pleasurable, but it was the only affection and attention they were getting. They weren't getting any positive fatherly affection and attention. And this was their permission slip to take to Johnny to say, hey, Johnny, I can't have sex anymore. So as a father of three girls, when you listen to an interview like that, it's like, wow, okay, I'm going to go home and I'm going to hug all my girls, make sure they know I love them, and I'm going to start really tuning in to the things that I need to be doing on a daily basis. You know, the words of affirmation, words are so powerful. For us to tell our daughters that they are cherished, that they're valued, that they are loved, you know, both inside and out. I tell my girls all the time, you are beautiful both inside and out. And I just love being able to give those affirmations to my girls and the confidence level that gives them. You know, how I model to my wife, how I love my wife, is setting the standard by which my girls will measure every other man, husband, and father. So I am very intentional and purposeful. And again, I'm not perfect, but I try to do it as best I can, as often as I can. I try to love and kiss on my wife in front of my kids as much as possible, because there's a stability and a security in that that they can't get anywhere else. When they walk out the door in the morning to go to school, they don't have to wonder if mom and dad love one another.
And that is so freeing. It's a stressor that they don't have. And it's by acknowledging and seeing what's happening and how you're treating their mom, it sets their expectations of how they should be treated for others. And I think we don't even realize how much of an impact that is to the mindset of our teens. Just those
absolutely.
Little.
And you know, it has the same impact on our boys too.
Right.
As a father, it's he's looking to you as a dad on how to treat women and treat any woman in his life, whether it's his mom, his sister, his daughter, whomever. He's paying attention to how you treat any and all women in your life, and that's setting the standard by which he's going to measure himself as a man, husband, and father. So mm-hmm. It's very, very important that we walk in that awareness on a daily basis. And I'll tell you, you know, one of the other things I learned was to ask for forgiveness. When I mess up, when I talk to my wife or my kids in a way I shouldn't, when I use a certain tone, when I say something that I just regret, I take my daughters individually and I just apologize. And I say, you know what, dad was having a bad day or this, that, or the other. I explain to them what happened and why I lost my temper, said what I did. And I ask them to forgive me. What that does is that shows them that, man, dad is doing the very best he can, but he's imperfect. He's not, you know, he's got his issues, right? But it also shows them that they don't have to be perfect. And that's been a game changer in my life for sure.
Mm-hmm. So how do we encourage a dad that we know, whether it's our spouse or if it's just, you know, a brother or a sister's husband or something like that, how do we encourage them to step back into their child's life and be more present so that we can empower our kids in a different way?
You know, it's really just doing the simple things on a daily basis. It's just having those conversations with our kids, encouraging them the best way they can. I tell fathers all the time, look, share, now these are age appropriate, so teenage girls, teenage boys, share some of your story about your own father, about your own growing up. You know, there's an innate curiosity, I think, with everyone to want to know what made our dad the way he is, right? What did he like to do when he was young? What was his favorite sport? What was his favorite candy? I mean, those type of things. I still to this day love hearing stories about my dad, you know, so to share your own story, to give your kids some insight in the way that you grew up, the things that made you who you are, so that they see that real side of you, other than just the dad and the hero and this amazing man. It's, man, my dad really didn't have the best life growing up, or whatever the story is. You know, one of the stories I share is I remember laying down with my girls at night, and it was late. We were trying to go to bed, and you know how kids are. They get wound up at night and don't want to go to bed. And so, you know, I shared with them my first job. And next thing I know, like 2 hours later, I'm still telling stories because they wanted to know so much more. And so it's very, very important that we share with our kids some of our own stories and experiences and you know, how they shaped our lives.
So basically, if we're trying to encourage a dad to be more present, we can just let them know that all they need to do is be there, to actually be present, that it's okay to be imperfect, it's okay to screw up, and it's okay for your kids to know you're imperfect and see you screw up.
Absolutely. You know, the reality of it is, it's the presence. It's a dad's presence. And so for many of us, and one of the major things I've learned as a father of girls, is a lot of times just to be there and listen, to not say a word. You know, as a dad, we kind of want to fix everything, right? When I first got married, my wife would say, hey, here's, you know, this is the issue. And I'd say, okay, do this, 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 boom. And I'm checking out, you know, I'm done. I finished that. You know, that was checked off my list that I helped her fix that problem. When, as I was married longer, as I began to have kids, I had learned that, man, sometimes girls just want us to sit and listen. They just want to have a shoulder to cry on.
And, I just need to cut out what you just said and hand it to my husband.
Well, it took me many years to learn, and I'm still learning it, believe me.
Exactly.
Well, so what if there is a mom listening who, for circumstances beyond their control, there is not a dad present, and either they can't be, you know, maybe they've passed away, or for, you know, they refuse to come and be part of their child's life. as a mom who's raising the kids without the dad, what would we need to know? What could we do to mitigate?
Sure.
This is, you know, listening to this interview, if that was me, I'd be kind of freaking out going, oh my gosh, you know, the dad is so important and there's nothing I can do about that. My kids don't have one. What can we do?
I have a lot of compassion for single moms because I grew up with one. And my mom is an amazing lady, still is to this day. And she's why I am who I am and a big reason why I am who I am. The good parts, not the bad parts. But I tell single moms all the time, and I have a lot of single moms reach out to me, you know, just find somebody within your church, a youth league coach, a friend, anybody, and just ask them. You know, I think most men, we just kind of go about our time, and we're not observant as we should be sometimes. And I'm sure you guys understand that and identify that with your husband. But we are just so focused on what we're doing, we don't pay attention to a lot of the things that are going on around us. And I think for just single moms to reach out to a man that they know and say, hey, can you just come spend an hour a week with my kiddo and take him to lunch or take her to lunch or have dinner with us or whatever, because that child needs to see what a positive male role model is. If they don't have that, they're going to buy into everything that the world says that role model is. And in my case, I bought into this idea that it's all about sex and money and success and power and, you know, all the things that you see on TV and in the movies, right? And so they've got to have that positive male role model somewhere. And it really is just a matter of simply asking a friend, an uncle, a grandfather, whomever, just to come spend, you know, a little bit of time with their kiddo or with their child or teenager, just, you know, once a week or once a month even. Again, just so they have that standard of what that positive male role model looks like.
I love it. So for the dads that are listening and the women who are listening that want to take a message to the fathers they know, what is the message you really want to send? If you could give them that one nugget of information, what would that be?
You know, dads have everything they need to be a good dad. They really do. And with technology nowadays, with podcasts and books and all the things that are out there, it's just a matter of educating ourselves, right? And talking to other men. The reality of it is we as men have to come to the realization that we can be honest and transparent and authentic with other guys. And it's in those relationships that we can learn so much, and that we can learn about some things that they've learned, some good things that they've learned about how to be a better dad and how to handle kid situations and issues with your wife and marriage and everything else. So it's really just, it's about encouraging dads. You know, so many of them just feel beat down and unworthy and not good enough. But man, they have everything they need. They just need to be encouraged and empowered and equipped to go do the very best they can with their kids.
Mm-hmm. I love that. So powerful and so simple at the same time. And it's doable, which is what I love about it.
All right. Well, I'm going to take us back and just kind of make sure that we got the core message, the high points here. So, John, you tell us that bottom line is dads are extremely important in kids' lives. Sons, daughters, doesn't matter. We all need our dad. And people can experience a father wound from something that a dad did or didn't do with us. And a lot of times that can also come from generational curse you talked about, you know, where we pass down through the generations. Whatever we saw in our life that our parents did, that's what we see as our normal. And so we may start that with our kids. We might be emotionally absent or physically absent from our kids' lives. And for men, one of the things that happens when they have a generational curse or when they've had their own father wound is that they struggle with anger. And then that anger gets triggered by many things in life, and not just the big things, but the little things and little reminders or little frustrations about their relationship with their dad. And we need to help men understand that anger and deal with that. We need to, in that vein of working on emotions, talk with our boys, because from a young age now, we're teaching them to not be real. We're telling them, suck it up, man up. And we really want them to learn what emotions are and how to deal with them. And so if we do have wounds, or if our kids have wounds, we need to heal from that. And basically that would start with admitting that you're even wounded, which, as you said, John, especially difficult for guys. And go then, you know, move on to counseling to uncover that wound and to get the tools and the things that you need to heal it. And then there's the absent father syndrome, but it's not just a physically absent father. It's also an emotionally absent father. And that impacts our kids very, very strongly. So dads, just know that all you need to do is be there and be present. And as we said, it's okay to be imperfect and for your kids to know that. Mm-hmm. And remember that you have everything you need to be a good dad. So, John, especially for the dads who are listening today, but for anyone who wants to find you, to learn more, to follow you, where would they find you?
So our website is thefathereffect.com, and that's effect, thefathereffect.com. And we're on Twitter at The Father Effect, and we also on Facebook, The Father Effect. So we are just about everywhere you want to look to find us. We are there.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, thank you so much for joining us and being part of Mighty Parenting Community. And for our listeners, if this is your first time, welcome. What a great show to kick off your experience here. And we want to invite you to go to mightyparenting.com to see all the support we have to help you raise your teens and parent your 20-somethings. And if you are a longtime listener, we appreciate you more than you will ever know, and just want to give you a little reminder to say you are a mighty parent. And as John told us, you have everything you need to do the best job possible. So this is Sandy Fowler and Judy Davis wishing you an awesome week, and go out and make it a good one.